Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every Thursday, and we talk to you about some of your most pressing business challenges, and we like to take on some really thought-provoking topics, and we always have a guest, and tonight will be no different. Before we introduce our guest, you have to know my co-host, who's here riding right next to me. Lori, let them know you're here.
Hi, Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, and I'm excited about our guest tonight. And before we actually introduce you, sorry, Bob, we're going to thank you to the Floor Store for supporting us and being our sponsor, located at 904 Broad Hollow Road in Farmingdale. Everything flooring that you can imagine, he has. Usually helpful, knowledgeable in business over 20 years. So stop in if you need flooring. And Bob, so excited to have you on.
I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit
Thanks
about
for joining
yourself.
Us.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I think that Ted said thank you for joining, and I said please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you want the world to know.
Oh, wow. Well, my name, as you mentioned, my name is Bob Gaynor. I am in the New York metro area. I am a brand manager and handle clients for many reasons, public relations, marketing, licensing and development of products, and communications. So I do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's quite a large sum. So you said you do PR and you do marketing.
Correct.
So I know for me, when I was starting my business, I thought they were one and the same. 20 years later, I'm not so sure about that, but... So maybe you could kind of break it down a little bit and explain how it works.
Sure. I'll give you a really short answer, and then let me do this. I have a great quote. There's a friend of mine that just reminded me of this quote. It's quite old. It's from an issue of Reader's Digest. I don't know if any of you out there actually remember that. But Reader's Digest, there's a gentleman by a firm by the name of M. Booth and Associates, and they had a great way of explaining this in very colorful terms, which always makes me giggle, but I think it actually illustrates the point quite well. So basically, it goes this way. If the circus is coming to town and you paint a sign saying, circus coming to the fairground on Saturday, that's advertising. If you put the sign on the back of an elephant and walk it into town, that's promotion. If the elephant if the elephant walks through the mayor's flower bed, that's publicity. And if you get the mayor to laugh about it, that's public relations. If the citizens go to the circus, you show them the entertainment booths, explain how much fun they'll have spending money at the booths, answer their questions, and ultimately, they spend a lot at the circus, that's sales. If you did all this on purpose, that's marketing.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
So I need
an elephant.
Right, we all need an elephant. Are you kidding me? So basically the short answer is that marketing is really focused on promoting a specific product, service or idea, and then ultimately increasing sales. Whereas public relations is really focused on maintaining the positive reputation for your brand or your company or your product itself. So it's really about, if you think about it in two ways, where marketing is sales and public relations is reputation. And that's really the boiled down version of it.
Interesting. So before Lori and I go on, want to let everyone know that here we have with us as a guest is Bob Gaynor. And ultimately, we're here to talk about, do you understand the difference between marketing and PR? And, you know, Bob, for some people, they might even say, well, why do I need a PR strategy? I already have a marketing plan. So if anyone is wanting to understand the difference between marketing and PR, you already have a marketing strategy or PR strategy and don't see the need to have the other, Bob is an extraordinary resource for you to sort of peel down the layers and have a much better understanding as to how marketing and PR support the successful promotion and reputation of your business. And if you'd like to call in, we'll be taking calls. The phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And, you know, this is a huge opportunity because everyone's business needs both PR and marketing. So here's your chance to really get your most challenging questions answered and be able to engage Bob and find out what the differences are. You know what? I even encourage you, Bob, I'm going to put you on the spot. Call and ask him your toughest question
Lord.
You have about marketing, about PR. And you can even bring one of your disaster stories and explain to Bob why you've given up on one or both of those, and we can actually talk you through that. I shouldn't say we, Bob will. So I'm going
to... Well, what
to,
a dead cat, right, Bob?
Right.
I'll bring a pitfall. So that you'll
right.
be protected, right? well, you know what, Bob? So your example about the elephant walking through the mayor's garden, and maybe you made him laugh. So you and I were talking about how you often hear that any publicity is good publicity, even negative publicity. So is that relevant to the elephant walking through the mayor's garden?
Yes, absolutely. There is a difference. If you think about publicity being the act itself, and then public relations being the way that we shift the tone of that act so that the audience or the public can feel differently or feel a certain way that you want them to about that act. So in the example, the elephant sits on the mayor's flower bed, which in itself could be a really, you know, could really not be a great thing for the
right.
circus. But
right.
what they've done is they have found a way to make the mayor laugh about it. And in turn, he now has a better perception of the circus or your product or service. So in terms of, there is no such thing as bad publicity. I think what they're talking about here is that something happens, and it can be something that is has a negative influence on your brand. But it's the way you deal with that. And as we all know, our country seems to be let's just put it this way. We are very open now. We're very open to giving people second chances and third and fourth and fifth chances. I think we've just
right.
been desensitized, as you and I, Ted, talked about a little bit earlier. I think you can be desensitized. But what it allows for is if something does go wrong in your business, you have a way to turn that around, and that is through public relations. And certainly that's not what we want. As a public relations professional, you don't want you're not hoping for that negative event at all. But if you have the ability to own that event and really push through it and come out the other side in a more positive light, your audience will eventually have that really have a better view of who you are, what your product is all about, and ultimately, you know, your hope is that they will come and buy, or you know, tag on to your idea or your product or service.
Right. So it's kind of like reputation management in the face of maybe a disaster. Maybe that's a strong word in some cases. And I'm saying that because Lori and I spoke about a business that actually had very negative publicity on the news. It was all over the place. I'm originally from New Jersey. At this time, it was in the 80s, so I was living in D.C. So you may not know about this, Bob. You're from California. So in the 1980s, could have been, I don't know, 85 or something, there was this club, a nightclub called The Limelight. They opened
up in
Manhattan. Oh, okay. So, yeah, you probably even heard the news if you were wherever you were living. But, you know, I was living in D.C., and it was all over the news channels that this club, The Limelight, had a lot of negative publicity. They had priests outside protesting. And for people who don't know, a couple of guys bought a church and turned it into a like a disco, a nightclub. And the priests were saying, you know, blasphemy, you know, this heresy, this was just horrible. They called all the news stations and had the cameras, and they wanted to have this place shut down, and this is just awful. How could they do this? And, you know, this went on for a couple of weeks. Opening night of The Limelight, the lines went literally around several blocks. But they had so much free publicity. But I think what they did with the news is they used that negative publicity as free publicity to explain what their club was about, and it wasn't devil worshiping. And all, you know, they used it as an opportunity, which I think you're saying they managed their reputation so that at opening night it was a success.
Absolutely. It is about starting the conversation. So if there is an event that actually thrusts your brand into the public eye for one reason or another, and it is not necessarily the negative, it is not necessarily the positive event that you were hoping for, there's always the opportunity for conversation. And so through that conversation, you can turn that negative into the positive. And I think we see that, you know, they call it spin, they call it a number of things, but I think we're seeing that, you know, in our society today, that there is an ability to own what you know, if you actually cause the event, this, you know, this is on another side of it, but if you actually cause the event that's negative, there's you always have the ability to own it, talk about why you would never do that again, and then move forward. And
right.
I think, you know, in the case of The Limelight, it actually, yeah, that was truly free publicity, and that was
right.
You know, that it was, you know, I don't think it was actually a negative, you know, for a certain population, it was certainly negative, but I don't think for their target audience, which is something that we can talk about as well, but their target audience, that was actually just fine for them to have that.
Right. So, okay, so maybe you just opened the door, and maybe we should take a step back. So whether it's public relations or marketing, you know, it sounds like you're saying a marketing is rather broad. You know, it entails several things. You know, it's
absolutely.
It's the sign for the circus. It's the painting on the back of the elephant. It is, you know, all this is marketing, sitting on the flowers of the mayor and all of that. So what are the things? I mean, let's just, you know, we've kind of jumped into this. Let's take it back to square one. Or is marketing and PR a matter of the chicken and the egg, like which one comes first? And so that's one question. Is it a chicken and egg, you know, which one comes first? And the second part is, what are the sort of things that you need to know to execute the one that comes first?
Right. I don't think it's chicken and egg necessarily. I think that marketing is the overall strategy. It has many things within it. Public relations is within that strategy. And as you mentioned earlier, sometimes you need different teams for different results. So you might have a PR firm that does your PR, and you might have a marketing, like maybe an in-house marketing team. That's, you know, often is the case. So they work together. But marketing is the overall umbrella. And so really, when I'm working with a client, you know, one of the first things you always have to do is identify your goals for the product, the service, the brand. And with that, something that I sort of spoke to earlier is your target audience. Know who your target audience is? If you're making a product, you have to know who you want to buy that product. And so that is part of your goals. Then you create the strategy, and within that strategy is going to be things like advertising or promotion or publicity. So all those are part of your strategy. Then once you've developed your strategy and you know, okay, I'm going to do this at this time, I'm going to do this at that time, I'm going to do this further down the road, or I'm going to layer each of those. That's once you develop that, then you go about execution. And in your execution, you know, this is where you may need to outsource. And if you need to hire somebody, if you're not a marketing genius but you have a great product, you're gonna need to contract or hire a marketing genius to bring that in, because not everybody is all things to every product, right? So execution really relies on the strengths of your company, the strengths of your contractors, and then once you've executed your strategy, you need to measure. You know, today everything's about metrics, right? So we're gonna measure how well that strategy worked. And the way in marketing, specifically marketing, you're gonna measure sales most likely. You're gonna measure how many widgets we sold of that based on the marketing efforts that we did. That's your, and you'll get a metric out of that. Sometimes they'll call it ROI, return on investment. But you really will measure that strategy. If it's public relations, it may not be so cut and dry. Public relations, how you measure that is about you measure how the reputation has been enhanced by your efforts. So but you're still measuring. You always have to measure, because once you measure, you can improve, right? You can do it again, but you do it smarter. A friend of mine always says, you know, she is the one that drills this into us. What gets measured can be improved. And I believe that wholeheartedly. If you know, and you're a data a person, Ted, you understand that. If you can measure it, you can understand it. And you can do something that is more effective or that costs less. So there really is, you know, several rungs to that ladder, but it always starts off with goals. You go into your strategy, you execute your plan, you measure, you improve it, and then you start all over again. You reassess your goals, you go back into you create new strategies and re-execute. So it really is a cycle, but it's not as difficult, I think, as people make it out to be. It just takes diligence.
So you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you know, so it becomes really important, as you were saying, know who your target market is. So if we were to take the Limelight example, if they didn't know who their target market is, they could have panicked. You know, oh, these priests are protesting us. However, if you know your target market pretty well, it's what you were saying, like their target market was less likely to be negatively influenced by it. If anything, it may have piqued interest and made
right.
people more curious
right.
about it. So
absolutely.
You have to know your target market pretty well to understand, I'm calling it reputation management, or you and I talk about crisis management, right? So
sure.
that could have been a crisis, except knowing your target market, it was just free publicity.
Exactly. Exactly. And sometimes that knee-jerk reaction to jump out there when really they didn't need to jump out there because they understood that their audience was most likely going to be anywhere from at that time 16 to, you know,
right.
30, you know,
right.
and they were, you know, they did not really, I don't want to say respect, but they did not care so much that the priests were saying that this is, you know, this is a sacrilege or this is the wrong thing to do.
Right.
So
right.
they did
right.
not have that knee-jerk attitude, which a lot of us would, you know, if we see something, you know, trying to stop our product or service from coming out, you know, it's pretty worrisome.
Well, you know, interesting you say
yeah.
that, right? So that's something to think about, because there's always going to be something happening. It could be a pandemic. It could be a natural disaster. It could be, you know, doesn't have to be priests protesting. However, it's here's my interpretation of you talking about knee-jerk reactions. Do you have your strategy that you solidly thought through, brainstormed with a team, whether it's outsourced or not, and you understand that strategy, and something happens, and it may appear that the event that happens works against you. However, if you take a step back, you can really kind of look at it before you respond, and you may find that, hey, this isn't so bad. You know, we can actually use this, as opposed to just running like, you know, we've got to fix it when there's nothing to fix. You can actually leverage
exactly.
it.
That's exactly right. And
so you've got
I
to
think,
have that first step, as you were saying, your strategy and understanding your target market. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I think you're exactly
before,
right.
I'm going to interrupt you guys. We've had a caller on hold, a 917 area code. So
oh my
I don't
goodness.
Know if, yeah,
that's
is there still on? New Yorker,
let's
maybe.
Hear from 917, bring them on. 917, you're live and on the air with the Creative Alchemist. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Or maybe they just want to listen.
Sometimes
all right.
people are on mute. Okay, they can listen. Let's
yeah,
let
them
just listen.
Call in. All right, so carry on. Sorry, guys.
Not to worry. I think one of the key elements that you had mentioned was the ability to step back.
Right.
You know, you have, you know, this is, you know, really with anything you're doing, but you have your strategy in place. You know what you want it to be. You know, we all hit bumps in the road. Like we all,
right.
you know, in the design world, because what I didn't mention to your audience and to you guys is that I am really focused on the interior design world in the home goods arena. So that is my specialty. So it's not like I do public relations for baby food or, you know, dance clubs in the, you know, in Chelsea. So
right.
I'm very focused on that. And so one of the things, you know, those bumps in the road that came about was this pandemic, right? And everything had to shut down. So rather than immediately into getting rid of your entire staff, you know, cutting down, you've got to pull back way back. Rather, if you step back and look, okay, how is my audience or what is my target market? What are they thinking? What are they needing at this moment? So I've got my strategy, but I step back and I see that my strategy needs to shift a little. So rather than me doing all in-person meetings and reach outs to my vendor partners in person, I'm going to now allow them to do it remotely. And then I'm also going to start adjusting my presentation packages so that everything can be electronic to make everybody comfortable so that I can continue to move my business forward. So it's really about stepping back, you know, when if anything happens, you take a moment, you take a breath, and then you make a new decision of whether or not it needs to continue on its path or if you need to make a shift in focus.
Okay.
So I guess it's very good. So here's a question I'm sure most people want to know. How do you know when to hire a PR person, and how do you know when to hire a marketer?
So when a marketing, somebody that is going to help you with marketing, I think you should hire right away because anytime, let's put it this way. Once you have a product or a service that you can sell, you need to market. So whether or not that means you're doing it yourself or you're hiring somebody to help you with that. But as long as you have that product, service, or idea to sell, you need to market, and you need to always be marketing.
Mm-hmm.
On the public relations side, the when is a little bit nebulous, but I will tell you the best time to hire a public relations professional is when you have something to promote. If you have new projects, so Laura, you're an interior designer. So if you have new projects that you've just photographed and need to get out there, that's where a public relations professional can help. If you are a great writer and you have this wealth of knowledge that you want to share, but you don't know who to share it with and you don't know how to get it out there, the public relations professional can help you do that. If you have products if you're designing products and you want to sell those products on the market, a public relations professional can help you get that product to the media outlet that's going to help you sell that product eventually. So I think always hire somebody to help you with marketing. But once you have something that you need to get out to the public and you want to increase your brand presence, that's when you hire public relations. So it doesn't have to be at the same time.
Right. And can you talk a little bit about a brand presence is? Because, you know, if you're a new business or whatever, you may not know, or you may not really think, you may think you know, but it's really not what it is.
Sure. So, you know, I think a lot of people don't really understand their own brand. So whether you're an individual designer like yourself or the company that Ted works for, each of those entities is not necessarily a Coca-Cola brand. It's like not necessarily your logo, but you really are a brand. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you put out publicly, everything you sell to your clients, the way you sell it to your clients, that's all part of your brand. And whether you understand it or not at the outset, I don't think people have to. I don't think you really have to understand it right away. I think you develop over time. And once you've started developing, you really have to look back and say, how am I doing each of these things? And how can I do, you know, what, first of all, what works? And then how can I continue to do it on a consistent basis so that it reinforces that aspect of my brand? So if, you know, part of your brand is that you're an incredible writer and you have a great message to put out, part of your brand is really connecting and communicating with your clients on a personal level. Not everybody can do that, right? Sometimes people are really pulled back. But if you really connect on a personal level and your clients respond to that, that's part of your brand. And so everything you do needs to follow in that trajectory. So you're saying, so it's whatever you put out. You don't want to put out something that's cold and stark when you have a very warm personality and you are speaking with your clients in a very personal way. That's not the message that you want to put out. You know, you want to really stick to that the original and the really consistent side of your brand.
Very interesting. Yeah, because I guess people, you know, you think of brand, you think, okay, my stationery, my colors, but you don't really
right.
take it globally and say, oh my God, you know, everything I do.
Right. So yeah, I think everybody really thinks of that as your, you know, what's my logo? What are my colors? What are, you know,
right.
what is the bag I'm carrying? That's my brand. No, I mean, really, that is just window dressing for the brand. The brand is really about how you build your product or how you work your service, how you communicate with your clients. That's all your brand, really. Who you are is your brand, and especially on for a lot of people who are running their own businesses. You know, the business is not necessarily a brand. The person is the brand. Eventually, that gets transferred to the product. And then suddenly that product can be the brand. But it all starts off with how you work your business and the consistency with which you do it. That is truly how you create that brand.
Well, we have a president of the United States who definitely has a brand.
Yes. Yes.
Yes,
that is,
he does.
And he's used that brand. He's used that brand. And you know, if you know anything about the way he worked in real estate, he did not actually build and own much of anything. Mostly, he licensed. That's another whole side
right.
of it. He licensed his brand to those buildings that were being built. And really, there's a value to the brand. That is important. And in the case of Trump, you know, he really used that to its success in that his own way. But each, you know, Lori, you have a brand that is for LGC Interiors and interior design. Mm-hmm. So that brand is valuable. So you're protecting it by continuing to, you know, manage your clients effectively and get the work done on time. And I guess that can also speak to reputation on a personal level. So,
right.
you know, I think it's important. On a company-wide level, it gets more complex because you want to, you know, assess, first of all, you're assessing the mission of the company and what the company wants to do. And within that, you're now, again, you're this. It feeds down to the way you treat your customers, the way you treat your vendors, the way you treat your media partners. That is all part of your brand, and that's going to and the way you do that will absolutely affect your sales, your public persona, and your reputation for sure.
I mean, there could be people who intentionally have a brand that, you know, they're kind of abrasive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is, I mean, look at, let's say, the wrestling industry comes to mind.
Right, exactly.
Right? You have these incredible performers, and probably in real life, most of them are just wonderful people and the sweetest pie, right? Just a big ball
right.
of mush. But because of their target audience and what that target audience is wanting, they've developed this brand for themselves. They've created a version of themselves that then has become their brand. And everything they do, and it could be abrasive, it can be sort of mean, evil, but it works for their target audience. So that brand is being amplified in everything they do, whether it's on TV, whether it's the way they speak with reporters after a fight or an event
right.
and they're
right.
yeah they're not going to suddenly after you know rolling around and hitting each other and they're not going to go oh it was so great I can't even no they're going to come oh it was bad yeah I just did, you know what I mean that's part of it
and they might even push
that brand.
Right they might even push a reporter around to only accentuate you know who
yeah,
they
exactly.
are like, that's really who I am.
That's exactly right.
So
that's
so
funny,
with that said, Go ahead, Lori.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
Yeah, I was going to say that there used to be a restaurant in Little Italy, and that was actually their brand, was that the waiters were rude. And if you said that your spoon was dirty, they would just, like, wipe it on their little apron, and they would give it back and be like, well, now it's not.
Right.
I heard about that place, yes.
And people flocked to that restaurant.
Was back.
Yes, because they wanted the experience, right? They
right,
turned that,
exactly.
that brand of being abrasive and disagreeable into almost a show, right? So that it made it so attractive, and just you had to see it for yourself. You may not have gone
exactly.
back, but you went at least that you had to see it.
Right. It's so true.
Are they still around? Does anyone know?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been into that area in forever. But we'll have to go there.
Bob, maybe it was one of those things that you only wanted to see once, and that was it. So they had a ceiling, unless they were promoting to tourists from out of town, out of the country.
Right,
So with that said, what I was going to ask is, could you intentionally incorporate negative publicity? So let's say I want to make myself into a brand, right? So, you know, whatever my service is, and I'm a brand, and I hire you, Bob, and I say, Bob, so we're going to educate the world, and, you know, we're going to create this wonderful brand, and we have a marketing strategy, and within that, we're going to create publicity about me, and people will know about me. I want to create a second publicity strategy that is specifically designed to create negative attention. So I want it to be so negative that it makes such a big hoopla that everyone's talking about it, even if they don't want to, which then will feed back into my marketing strategy, and we'll manage it because we are intentionally creating negative publicity. And so we already have, you know, press releases to manage that. Do people actually do things like that?
I think when that happens, it is absolutely hollow. When it is,
okay.
When something like that is so intentionally manipulated, I feel like it never rings true. The turnaround never rings true. So
okay.
I would never take a client that was asking me to do something like that. I feel like,
okay.
I think that
all
would
right.
be, yeah, I think the result, you know, because it's part of your brand being that, you know, you want to build trust with your audience and in your market. And I think at the end of the day, if it's forced and manipulated like that, you end up, you don't build that trust that you would have,
okay.
you know. I wouldn't suggest
well,
it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I guess been in New York too long. I often wondered if the limelight was orchestrated that way. Like, what better way? I can pay some guys to be priests and go out there and protest, and I'm going to win no matter what.
Right. I'm not saying that it's not done, but I don't. I think that is. It sounds nefarious, and maybe in our cynical political climate, maybe there's some of that going on. I don't know, but I in terms of really having a healthy, stable brand presence, you know, I don't think that actually happens in the real world.
Okay. Now what could be done then is, hey, here's, here's the way I want to be seen in the world, and then to actually strategically think through, here are some of the things that could go wrong. Like, so how do we sort of, you know, we're going to mitigate that in advance, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Preemptive.
Yeah, no, that is always having, you know, each business has pitfalls, right? And
right.
That are common to that business. And so if you're a smart business owner, you're going to know what those pitfalls are in advance. And so if you figure out a way to move through those and to, like, as you mentioned, mitigate that response, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be able to react quickly to anything that happens. So in the case of, you know, let's say you're building a product and you have an idea that there's always a possibility that that product could fail this way, you know, and you put that product out there. Before you put that product out there, you've decided we're going to create a strategy just in case that happens,
right,
based on this reason, so that as soon as that happens, you're not caught with your pants down. You just say, you know, this is, you know, you have the way to move through it and come out the other side. And perhaps it's about having another product right behind it to put in its place, so that you can,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
What happens, right? You find your PR people, you want to hire them, and they won't take you. Do you take it personally? Do you ask why? Do you, you know, like, are there reasons why a PR company wouldn't take you on?
Sure. Sometimes if it's out of their market, if it's not
mm-hmm.
in their specialty, you know, there are many PR professionals really live in specific markets. So a friend of
mm-hmm.
mine out in California, he is hyper-focused on children's toys, on the toy market. So he knows everything about toys. He knows when they're introduced. He knows the media outlets, how to get those out to, you know, he knows when it's getting ready, you know, say it's October, and he knows who to contact at the Today Show to get the toys on the Hot for Christmas launch, right? So people, you know, a lot of PR agents are very specifically oriented to a specific market or a specific category. Another reason why they would maybe not want to work with somebody is that that person or that brand doesn't have the collateral that they feel that they could work with. So if there's
mm-hmm.
if a brand is, you know, is not quite far enough along in its life cycle and they don't have enough behind them that they don't feel
mm-hmm.
that there would be effective, then that's certainly a reason that somebody could say, you know. And if you know, if somebody came to me and said, I would love to work with you, I'm just starting out, I have no clients, I want you to make me famous, that's not going to happen. You need something behind it.
Okay.
I think I may have done that when I first started out. Several people.
Well, in your case, I might call it chutzpah. You know, you are, you know, sometimes that is enough.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, I would think, you know, here you are starting out, you need that, but then, you know, you're not getting it, and then what do you do? So it's kind of like, well, yeah, I want to have that, but then I need someone to help me get that, but you won't take me because I don't have it. It's like the catch-22.
Yes, I agree. I think there's a balance there, and I think you always should, you know, you should always start with your marketing plan. So what is that marketing plan? What are you selling, and how am I going to sell it? And so then,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's without a, you know, what's great about what the public relations professional does is he gives you unpaid publicity, right? He gets you out there for free rather than buying an ad. But that still costs you money because you're hiring the PR professional.
Right.
But sometimes that PR professional can bring, let's say they can bring in a media outlet that you would never have access to, and you can get involved in that. That's, you know, huge amounts of dollars if you were to buy advertising for that same purpose.
Right.
So there's, yeah.
And there's different aspects, I guess, between advertising and editorial.
Oh, there's huge. Yeah, advertising and editorial, two completely different things. And editorial has been in the past completely separate from the sponsor advertising side of it, so that the content of what that editorial, let's say if it's a magazine, like we'll be very specific, say it's a shelter magazine for interior design, the editorial content is not beholden to the advertising content. So
right.
That they can create their content that is their image, their brand. They do what they want with it without regard to who is buying ads. Now, we all know that in this world that is not always the case, that people that buy ads can often sort of blend over into the editorial world a little bit easier because they're already in there with advertising. But, you know, I think the editorial message has a little bit more strength than the advertised message.
Right.
You know, because this is something that Ted and I talked about. There's something called the third party endorsement. And that is when somebody else is talking about you rather than you talking about yourself.
Right.
And that's really what a good PR agent will do, is get other people talking about you so that your prospective client is not hearing it directly from you, that I'm great, I'm great, I'm great. What they're hearing is, she's great, she's great, she's great. Wow.
Right.
Okay. If she says she's great, then that's it. So that's really, you know, the difference on editorial and advertising. I think there's value in both, for sure.
And you must. I was going to ask. It sounds like you, the publicity part, whether it's editorial or any kind. So many people are, you know, banging on the doors to get that kind of free, you know, third-party editorial or non-advertising publicity. So the media sources, whether it's print or cable or any, you know, television, they must be bombarded with that stuff. So, like, you know, if I just decided to contact the New York Times, I don't know anyone there. Does that matter? Is that one of the differentiators or one of the smart reasons you would want to invest in a PR firm and into someone like you, because you have access to people?
That is probably the biggest reason you would do that, because PR professionals have made it their career to have strong relationships with editors and publishers and producers at TV stations. These are, you know, the relationships that PR professional has is what's going to differentiate you from the noise of 100,000 people wanting their project or their product to be shown. And so that's, I mean, I totally believe that it's all about the relationship side of it that really makes the difference when you're looking at PR agents. Now, the other side of the coin would be, is if the product or the service is so unique and so newsworthy that they're going to, that anybody would take it, right? That they would take a look at it and say, this is new. This is fantastic. And they snatch it up. And so, you know, being newsworthy and having a great product is always is key. But then layering in there, you're going to want that relationship so that you're going to be at the front of the line when it comes to getting into that media outlet, whether it be TV, cable, magazine, newspaper. And okay. This is not to say that you can't do this yourself. I know many professionals who, you know, have made it, you know, have taken the time to develop those relationships with local newspapers, local magazines, national editors. They go to events where they meet those national editors and have strike up conversations and start to develop, you know, if you could call it a professional friendship. And, you know, that's part of it too. You know, I know many people that do it that way too. I think if you are relatively new to the to your business, you've still got something to sell, but you're relatively new and you don't know that side of the media side or the publishing side or the producing side on TV. You don't know it that well. It can help to, and you don't have time to really spend years making those relationships. And certainly a PR professional would be the way to go.
Okay. You know, part of the reason I asked is because about 9 or 10 years ago, I wrote an op-ed piece about Chrysler, and it was about how Chrysler could turn itself around and completely rebrand itself. And I submitted it to the Wall Street Journal, and I don't know if this was like just a regular response, but they told me they were actually considering it and that they needed more time, and they got back to me and said they chose another person. And I thought, wow, I bet if I had relationships there, I could have gotten that piece would have been published.
Well, probably. I agree. Probably. And the reason, first of all, the reason that they got back to you at all was because that it was a good op-ed. You know, they get hundreds of submissions a day. So they don't respond to everybody. But I find that on the editorial side, the response, you know, because of the relationships I have, I either get this is terrific and I'm going to do something with it, or usually it's, you know what, this is not quite right. Or I get, you know what, I really like this. I'm going to see how it fits into my editorial schedule and then I'll get back to you. And sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes it does, you know, at the end of the day, they say it's not quite right for the flow that I need for you know, the rest of this year. But if you would let me hang on to it, we could see about next year, whatever that may happen.
Right. Right. Okay. Interesting.
Very awesome. So I think we still have a few minutes left. Awesome.
Closing in, I have a question that sort of piggybacks what we were just discussing. So, you know, Bob, let's say you do, you know, a great job with the person in the publicity, and it works. And let's say Lori's your client, and Good Morning America wants her to come on. I mean, do you? And maybe Lori hasn't done a bunch of interviews on television or radio. Is that part of your service too, to help polish the person so that they can deliver in sync with the brand that they, you know, are committed to promoting?
Absolutely. I think anybody worth their salt would do as much as they can to prepare their client for whatever interview they're going to be embarking on, whether it's TV or it's a reporter from a local newspaper, you know, making sure that your client had the information that they needed, that they were going to feel, you know, most of all, if it's on camera, most of all, it's about feeling comfortable, right? So, you know, looking their best, feeling comfortable, and then having all the information that that reporter is going to be asking them about, making sure that they have it at their disposal so that it can come up, you know, trip off the tongue so easy. And
right.
if that takes, you know, run throughs and let's work on a few questions, then absolutely. Absolutely. I've had several clients in the last couple of years that have never done television who have, you know, are now fantastic at it. And it, you know, it may not be the first go around may not be the best, but over time, you assess how you did, you make changes, you know, look at, you know, what was I wearing? I was wearing stripes on TV. What was I thinking? you know, and then you make changes the next time. So, it's certainly somebody that has any, you know, any strength to their skills, skill sets as a public relations professional would definitely prepare your client as much as possible. You know, I think preparation is important on every level of business, but if you're going to be off the cuff, if you're going to be in a live interview situation, oh my gosh, we're in that right now. But if you're in a live situation, you know, being prepared and having a base of knowledge at your disposal is so key.
Perfect.
Very cool.
Bob, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for, giving
it's
us
been
all
so
of
fun.
Your trade secrets, so to speak. Because it is of value when you're building your business to have, you know, someone like you behind you and or behind them or however you want to phrase that, you know, and you want your
sure.
business to be successful. So you want to use all avenues.
I think everybody can use a great coach in every field. Right. And, you know, we used to always think of coaches as baseball and sports, right? That was the only coach
right.
you had was a sports coach. But if you look around now, there's coaches for everything. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's really helpful to have somebody else's ear and somebody else's wealth of experience to sort of hold up the mirror to yourself and really understand who you are. On multiple different levels. So I'm all for it. And I think a good PR guy would be a great coach, would end up being like that great coach for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, definitely useful and helpful. Without a doubt.
So how can people get a hold of you, Bob? Tell them we're going to run out of time here. How can they find you?
Certainly. They can look me up online at dcinteriormanagement.com. So interior and management are spelled out completely. So again, DC like a dog cat, interiormanagement.com. And they can connect with us that way. And certainly I'd love to talk with anyone about their PR plans and their marketing plans.
Awesome. And if you go on my Facebook page, there is, if you click on the link, you can get right to Bob's website.
Great.
So very, very nice. Thank you for coming, Bob. It was a pleasure. And
thanks, guys, for the free publicity.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, no, love your expertise. Right. And you're a living example of what we're talking about. So, yes, perfect.
I appreciate it very much.
It was
so fun.
I like that. Have a good night, everyone. We'll see you next Thursday. And thank you to the Floor Store for another great episode.
No question. Thank you, Floor Store. Everyone have a great evening. Bob, thank you very much. Job well done. And we look forward to another guest next week. Enjoy the evening, everyone. Take care. And goodbye.
Enjoy. Bye.